Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I am Jen Paulvo, and I do not have a trading problem.
I'm Nate Paulvo, and I have a problem making good trades.
a lot of us have that, Nate. As you can hear, I am hosting solo this week. We had Justin sub in for Russ last week. Russ is off again this week. He will finally be back next week. But since it's just me, I brought on two great guests. I thought it'd be fun to have the two of them together. We got Jen Paulvo, we got Nate Paulvo. Two poll votes for the price of one. Jen, why don't you just tell everyone who you are, what you do, where you can find what they do, find what you do, and then Nate will go as well.
Funny enough, I didn't even like prep for this part. I was like, no one is gonna ask. Oh my god. Okay, I'm Jen Paulvo. I am at IBT Media. I'm the business manager and the managing editor over there. We put out fantasy football, fantasy golf, NASCAR. I'm forgetting everything right now. But we combine life and fantasy. Like that's our big thing. And you can also find me at 32 and 32 FF.
Don't worry, Jim, because I'm forgetting everything as well, because I should have also said that this is a member of the DLF Family Podcast and a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will, and we will. So, Nate, now you go.
So you can find me on Twitter at JuniateJackFF for now. I'm going to go to a more adult professional name here soon, I think, maybe. I don't know.
I think so. I think you will.
But everybody knows me as Junaid Jack, so but we'll see.
It's
we'll
confusing. See. Nobody knows how to say it or what it means, yeah. Or that it's a combination of our names or anything.
Yeah, I figured that out, but a lot of people don't seem to understand what the heck that is, Nate.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Our
that's
funniest fair. One was, wait, Jen ate Jack? Like, why would you eat Jack? Who's Jack? Why are you eating him?
You know, just our son. No big deal.
Yeah, it's fine.
You can find me 32 and 32 FF with Jen, which is going to be a phenomenal podcast. You can find me at Edge of Chaos, Edge Off Chaos on Twitter. We do a show every Tuesday at 19th Hole with In Between Media, the In Between Media Fantasy Football Podcast with Jen will be a regular co-host with us every third week during the season. At FF Thieves, for everybody who's watching, Rocky. And that's about it. I'm around.
Everywhere. Yeah, you're not just around, you're everywhere.
I'm everywhere. I'm here, I'm there, a little bit of everywhere.
Yeah, I was going through your chats in Twitter, to your DMs in Twitter, to find out where you guys were in the show sheet. Good luck finding a show sheet from a chat from whenever. Like,
good luck finding anything in my chat. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm glad to have the both of you on tonight. And we got a lot on our show sheet here tonight, so we'll get right into it. What we do when we have new guests on, we have a little, you know, interview. So we've got two interviews to go through. So we'll go back and forth on each question with you two. I introduce Jen first. I'll let Nate answer first. How long have you played fantasy and how long have you been playing Dynasty?
So my first fantasy league was in 1992, however long ago that was. Was that 29 years ago? That was 29 years ago.
Gross, that was. Dude. Gross.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow.
We're old.
Yeah, we are old, Rocky. It's true. We've talked about this. So, yeah, I've basically been playing fantasy off and on for 29 years. My most serious fantasy stretch has been the last, like, 10 or 11, 12, probably like 12, 13 years. Dynasty 2020 was my first year. I didn't know the format existed before the pandemic, and I entered fantasy football Twitter.
Yes, I found fantasy football Twitter in 2018. I had actually been in a couple dynasty home dynasty leagues before then, but the addiction got out of control once I found dynasty Twitter and fantasy Twitter. You said 1992 for your first fantasy league, though?
Yes.
And so was that the old everyone ever, cliche pen and paper and mailing the results or whatever?
So it was my dad was the commissioner of a work league for what was then EchoStar, is now called Dish Network. And we would sit at the table every Monday night with the handwritten lineups and score from the box scores while watching Monday Night Football together.
Nice.
Yeah. My first fantasy pick was Randall Cunningham when he still played for the Eagles.
The ultimate weapon.
Yes, he was back then.
Eagles. Okay, so Jen, what about you?
I think we decided that this is my, okay, I've been playing fantasy for 10 years for like 2 years now. So let's, let's just like say I'm at probably 12 years, but I did take a little bit of a break.
Okay. And how about Dynasty? Are you playing Dynasty or?
Yeah, this is.
Is she playing Dynasty?
Yeah. And I will, if possible, minus charity leagues, I will never do another redraft again. I'm over it.
The Nate's reaction. How many leagues are you in?
Gladys just asked the same question. I think it's like 20-ish.
Oh, nice.
But there are some that haven't.
I'm betting that's more than Nate.
I think we're right around the same.
We're pretty even.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is my second year playing Dynasty, and I love it.
Yeah, so I'm right there with you. Obviously, this is a Dynasty podcast. I'm part of another Dynasty podcast. So, yes, I am truly addicted. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm on the Dynasty Addicts podcast network. how about with Dynasty? We'll start back to you, Jen. Do you have any best or worst trades that you can give us?
Okay. Like I said, I am not addicted to trading. Like, I think I've initiated a trade maybe one time in my whole life. Like, all of the trades come to me. And then I'm like, oh, why did you do this? Because now I'm going to have to say no. And it's going to be a whole thing. And now I'm going to be like, I don't like the conflict here. I don't like this. But Nate reminded me of, I traded Cam away last year in an orphan league that was so awful. It's still awful. It's Dynasty. So now I like, it's going to be like 5 years of rebuilding this team. And I don't remember who I got, but I came in, I think, seventh that year. So couldn't have been that bad.
Well, you dumped Cam right before he kind of like fell off a shelf, got COVID and his numbers, like you had prime Cam.
Didn't I trade Cam to Seth too?
No,
he wanted Cam so wanted hard. Cam, I was like, no,
you wouldn't give him up.
That's right.
You wouldn't give
that's
him
right,
up.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So Nate, do you have a best trade that you can think of?
Yeah, there is. I sold Deshaun Watson in June-ish, like mid-June-ish, for Henry Ruggs, Darnell Mooney, and a 2022 second. And I won't tell you who gave me that haul after I put him on the trade block because I don't want to embarrass them. But it happened. And given everything going on with that situation, the fact that I was able to move him for that amount of talent and possible upside, best trade I've ever been a part of.
Well, yeah, I'm funny. I'm kind of on the opposite side. I haven't done it so much recently, but especially early on in the Watson news, I was kind of buying him. And when you said rugs, that kind of put talent in air quotes for me, but I like the rest of it.
And that's fair because there's a potential upside with rugs that we're probably never going to see. But on the off chance that he does hit that upside, I'm glad to have him for Deshaun Watson. I would have, to be honest, I would have taken rugs straight up for Deshaun Watson.
Is this a 1QB league or Superflex league?
Superflex.
Okay. I would not, under no circumstances would I ever take Ruggs straight up for Deshaun Watson in any league. So
difference of opinion.
Yeah. Do you think this is going to be like a multiple year thing or
he's done?
You think he's done for good?
I think he's
done. Yeah, see, I'm on the other. I think he's playing. He's probably not playing this year, but I think he's playing again. He's too good. He's too young. The NFL will want him in the league. Unless he goes to jail, and even then, I mean, Mike Vick went to prison and still came back eventually. So
sure,
yeah. So I just think he's going to play again. That's why I was buying him early on. I've kind of tailed off that recently, but
yeah, I think okay. I have 2 shares of Deshaun Watson right now, and I'm sad and mad and glad all at the same time.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. If he did it, he probably should be gone for good. I'm just dealing with the real world, and I still think. Unless, like I said, convicted of something or something like that, even if he's found guilty the lawsuits that are going on now that are not criminal civil suits, that I still think he'll find his way back in the league because too many people will want him. But we'll move on to the last question, which I guess I don't know if Jen can answer this question then, which is what is a guiding principle in trading for you? So is your guiding principle, Jen, let people make me offers?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean, unless I'm in that orphan league that's just so terrible, I let people just make offers to me, and then I do research sometimes, use some trade calculators sometimes. I mean, it depends, but yeah, let the trades come to me.
What about you, Nate? You have a guiding principle when you're making trades?
So, yes, I do. I'm very much about I'm okay with trade. If I'm deep in a position, I'm okay with giving up a marquee player for a marquee player in a position where I have a need. So I will go in and look through, check trade block, see who people have on the trading block, and then find where their weaknesses are. And maybe offer them something that alleviates a weakness where I can pull from a strength they already have. Like, you've got 3 phenomenal quarterbacks. I'm going to get one of those quarterbacks. I have 6 phenomenal receivers. I'm willing to give you Darnell Mooney, who people are super high on right now, including myself. But I'll deal him if I need a quarterback bad enough. And if you've got someone like Mac Jones, who I've got 2 solid quarterbacks, but I don't have a 3rd solid quarterback, I might be willing to deal Darnell Mooney for Mac Jones because I think his upside going forward, not just in 2021, but 2022, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, is high enough that I'm okay with. If my wide receiver room is deep enough, I will give you Darnell Mooney for Mac Jones.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think that's a good way to go about it. That's a big part of what I do too, is not so much. I do this sometimes, and I will. You'll see I did it in one of my trades tonight that's on our show sheet. But I try not to target players as much as I like to target positions. Yeah, like you were saying, like, yep. See where someone else is weak or strong, and then go there and try and work a trade that way, you know, with your strengths and weaknesses. I think that's a good move. So that finishes up the interview. So we'll get into the little bit of news that we have here. Nothing major happened this past week, but we have a couple things we're going to talk about. For one, there's an ongoing, this I think is even before this week, but there's been kind of ongoing negative reports coming out about Ja'Marr Chase. I think I saw a blurb today on Sleeper or something that Auden Tate could be running ahead of him or something like that. Are either of you guys have any worry about Ja'Marr Chase, or is just this typical preseason talk, not worried about it?
I'm not worried about it, man. It was like 3 drops. It's not that big of a deal. Like, it's fine. Look at his history. He's going to be fine. He's fitting into a new system. He's in the big leagues now. Like, it's scary stuff. So I'm not worried about him.
Yeah, he hasn't played since 2019.
Right.
He's still trying to figure out how he fits into the speed of the NFL game. Mm-hmm. That's going to take a minute. And in Dynasty, I bought him where I bought him. I drafted him where I drafted him, and I'm okay with it. There will be a growth with Ja'Marr Chase. And he's with his college quarterback. He's with Joe Burrow. And like for real, how much more comfortable could he possibly be in an NFL situation? He's got his quarterback. We can talk about the Cincy coaching if we want to, and it's probably not a great, phenomenal situation.
Nah.
But I love Ja'Marr Chase's talent, and he's just acclimating to the game, and he hasn't played in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just, yeah, I we talked a little bit about preseason in general, not necessarily so much coach speak or reports and or specifically, you know, we did talk about some poor performances, but I just tend to generally ignore the preseason altogether. I mean, I pay attention to what's going on, but I don't put much stock in anything. There's vanilla defenses, vanilla offenses. You don't know, you know, unless you're paying super, super close attention, you don't know. You know, which starters may be, you know, not the fantasy relative starters, relevant starters, but like offensive line guy might be sitting out, different things that can affect so much of what's going on. And you don't know what the coaches are trying to do. I mean, they might want to give a certain guy certain looks or things like that. Like, I remember there was last week we talked about Malcolm Brown had ran ahead of Miles Gaskin. There might have been a specific reason for that. This week, Miles Gaston played plenty well, and I think more than Malcolm Brown, so it didn't really make any difference. So yeah, I'm not worried about Ja'Marr Chase either. I like I said, I tend to tune out most of this stuff, look at it as like white noise, and other than injuries, or looking at it as a chance to take advantage of somebody who may be down on Ja'Marr Chase, I don't put much stock in it at all. So another preseason occurrence here is that Wentz, I put this on here mainly because I think it's so funny. When he got hurt, the day he got hurt, everyone had him out for like half the season before we even knew anything, before that bizarre 5 to 12 week time frame came out. And now they're saying he could be ready for week one. Were you ever worried about any of the Colts? Did you think it was going to be a more extensive thing, either of you?
I mean, I listened. Yeah, I mean, I listened and saw he's going to be out, you know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it was going to be. Surprised to hear that he could be back for week one. But otherwise, as Nate knows, as most people know, I am not a Wentz lover. So I just don't care.
As an Eagles fan, I don't particularly like Wentz, but I do think he could have a good fantasy season this year.
Yeah, I understand why you don't like him. but he might. I mean, he's back with Frank Reich, so I guess we'll see. But I wasn't anticipating Wentz talk for at least another 4 or 5 weeks.
Were either of you knocking Jonathan Taylor down at all because of the whole Wentz situation?
I don't think I could knock Jonathan Taylor any lower than I have already before the
you're worried about him.
I don't believe that Jonathan Taylor is a bell cow fantasy point hog type running back.
Because he can't do, you don't think he can do it, or you don't think Reich will let him?
I don't think that Reich will let him. Nyheim Hines, Jordan Wilkins last season. And that speaks volumes for your RB1 who's coming into a system with Marlon Mack, who's injured, obviously with the Achilles. So you've got Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, and Jordan Wilkins as your three guys. And we saw Jordan Wilkins take carries from Jonathan Taylor at points. And Nyheim Hines, obviously, we saw what Nyheim Hines did. If Jonathan Taylor finishes the season as an RB1, I will be shocked. If he finishes the season as a high RB2, I will be shocked. If he finishes the season as like a back end RB2, I'm okay with that. That makes sense to me. I think that's where his ceiling is.
Wow. I think many, many people probably disagree with you. I do think there is some reason for caution for some of the reasons you said. And he also, everyone likes to point out the David Montgomery schedule at the end of the year. Taylor had a very similar schedule at the end of the year that kind of pushed him up, same way he did Montgomery, into the top 6 or 7 running backs. So I think we may be a little too high on Jonathan Taylor because a lot of us did like the talent so much coming out of college. But back end two is a little harsh. Are you there too, Jen?
No, I'm with everybody else.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
And we'll all get to make fun of Nate at the end of the year when he's an RB1.
No, but you can all bow to me when he's an RB3 and be like, he was right.
No. And then the other bet that just happened shortly before coming on the show is that Adam Trautman was carted off the field. I don't know if you guys saw that. I wasn't watching the game, but I did see the alert come up. He actually was carted off the field. I don't know what the injury is, but carted off sounds pretty serious. So
yeah.
What this says to me is I am I mean, not that Adam Trautman was the signature piece, but I'm starting to get terrified about that New Orleans offense. You know, no Michael Thomas. Now there might be no Adam Trautman. Like I said, he wasn't necessarily going to be a big thing, but a lot of people had high hopes for him. I know there was that guy, the tight end that actually played a little well last week over, I think, Juwan Johnson is his name. Juwan something. Yeah. But, I mean, between the two quarterbacks, you know, if Taysom Hill's the starter, I don't like him even a little. And we know Jameis is iffy. It has me worried for Kamara. What do you think, Jen? Is this an offense? I mean, I know some people are saying Marquez Callaway season because I guess somebody's got to catch the ball there. But this offense could crater.
No, I'm a major Traquan Smith fan. Like, I know that that's off, but I have been high on him since last year. I love him. I love how tall he is. And I think no matter who the quarterback is, he's going to get the ball. Yes, things are crumbling there. I understand that. But they're just not going to be the team that everyone has loved since Breeze has been their quarterback. So, I mean, I didn't hear the news. I do have shares, but that's a bummer. Hopefully he's okay, but no, I'm not. They're gonna be fine.
What do you think, Nick? Like I said, I'm just worried about the offense in general. I know people think that just with all these guys going down too, probably think it just means more for Kamara. But if the whole offense is Kamara and they can't do much else, it's gonna lead to less efficiency, less first downs, less touchdowns. So, what do you think?
So, okay, I have two trains of thought on this. If Taysom Hill is the guy who's getting the majority of snaps at quarterback, I have serious issues with that offense outside of Taysom Hill.
I don't think he will, though.
I don't think he will either. You didn't let me finish.
Okay, go on.
If Jameis Winston, who should be the starting quarterback there, is the starting quarterback there, I have no worry. He had LASIK. Don't forget. He can see the field better. But, like, dude, okay, as a Denver Broncos fan with Drew Locke, I will take 30 and 30 all day. Because he threw 30. Yards. He threw 30 touchdowns. And I don't, like, I get it. He also threw 30 interceptions. Not great. But he still threw 30 touchdowns. Drew Locke was like 15 and 15. How abysmal is that?
Yeah.
I think Sean Payton is a smart enough coach that he will make it work. It's going to be Jameis Winston. It's going to be Traquan Smith and Marquez Callaway. Michael Thomas is going to get traded when he's healthy. He will not be a part of that team.
Yeah, I think he does not want to be there. So I wouldn't be surprised with that at all.
He's been so vocal about that.
So yeah. Vocal. And, dude, Alvin Kamara all day, every day. With Jameis Winston at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the thing to remember is that Jameis Winston lived in a Tampa Bay offense that had no running game. Tell me a running back that played with Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. Give me one off the top of your head.
Nobody good.
Exactly. Peyton Barber. Okay. He has Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. And we don't talk about Latavius Murray very often, but in Dynasty, he's one of those guys you can get in like the 23rd round of a startup draft. And there are going to be weeks where he's going to go off. Or in best ball. That offense is better than what we all think it's going to be. And I know Michael Thomas being out is a real huge drag, but they have weapons otherwise.
Yeah, he's not their end-all be-all.
He's not their end-all be-all. Mm-hmm. And with Jameis Winston at quarterback, that offense is actually very attractive to me in Dynasty.
I hope you're right. I have a lot of Winston shares, so, and I have a few Callaway shares as well. So it looks like he's going to be a big part of the offense. Mm-hmm. If this Trautman injury is serious and Thomas is out for, you know, 6 weeks or so. So I hope you're right. It makes me very nervous. Either quarterback, I like you, I'm definitely a Winston guy over Taysom. I think Taysom is brutal. he's good for fantasy for himself. He's going to be horrible for the rest of the team, but I hope you're right. So that some of my, Callaway and Winston shares can pay off, but, We'll move in now to the listener questions. I'm going to go there first because we got a bunch of questions, very few about football or fantasy football. It was mostly about Jen and Nate. So a lot of our friends in the fantasy space here kind of having fun with you guys. At G-Man J, I'll let Nate answer this one. Why is Jen so much better than Nate?
So, wow, where do I even start? We've got planning ability, organization, smile, eyes, face.
Yeah, I think we can just go looks in general. Nate, but yeah.
Yes, no, she's so much better looking than me. She's
Nate,
awesome.
Nate outkicked his coverage.
Oh, dude, like, guys. 1,000% I outkick my coverage. And I know that every day because I know how lucky I am to be a dude. I'm on a live stream, minus the F word, with my wife. Every day I wake up, I feel pretty lucky that she's next to me. And I'm like, I look at her and I'm like, how did I pull this off?
I look at her and I'm like, how can one person take up this much of the bed?
Well, that is fair.
Yes, but I'm sure, yes, many men listening wish their spouses were as into fantasy football as Jen is. My wife has no interest in football, period, whatsoever. So, you know, kind of just tolerates me doing podcasting. She's not coming on any streams with me, so. So I'll let Jen answer the next question then from at Dan Turner FF. Why is Keith still not giving Jen a drink? I believe this is an expo question.
This is an expo question. So the Devil Tree had no idea we were coming. Like, they knew we were coming. They had no idea what they were dealing with. And so, like, I think Bob Lung said that there were over 400 people there, and obviously not all at the Double Tree, but we swarmed that bar, and there were two bartenders. They were the same bartenders the entire time. Like, you woke up in the morning and they were there. You went to bed at night, closed it down, and they were there. Like, they worked so hard. Okay. There's the cat. He's saying hi. But Keith and Lily were the bartenders there, and it was impossible to get a drink. I mean, you're trying to serve 100 people plus their restaurant. Plus, they had other things going on. They had a 50th birthday party, I think, or 50th anniversary, something. So, like, the Double Tree just was completely understaffed. So, there was this joke at the end that was just like, Keith, get me a drink. And by Saturday, I had figured it out. So, A, you always call people by their names, not can I get a drink, bud, or hey, man, can I get a drink? It's Keith. Hello there. May I have a drink, please? And then I ended up leaving my debit card there at the end of the weekend. And that's one of those numbers that I have memorized and is auto-filled for everything that I do online. So it's like, I got to get this back. So I called the Double Tree, and shout out Double Tree. They were awesome enough to mail it back to me. Keith put it in the safe. Great. And yeah, they didn't even give Keith a tip. I'm like, give him a tip. Give the man a tip. So he was awesome. Lily was awesome. They worked their butts off and did the best they could for us. But we had to go elsewhere for drinks for the most part.
Yeah. And to your point about them not knowing what was coming, I think I heard someone say, Bob Lung or someone else, it was six times the first one from 2 years ago, six times the amount of people.
There were like 100 people there.
Feeling it's going to be even more than that in 2021. I know I'm going in 2022. I know I'm going in 2022.
You better be there.
I wasn't there this year. So, I had a vacation that interfered with it, unfortunately.
Oh, but, man. Yeah.
But next year, I'm still a little bitter, but it's all good.
Next year.
The next question, again, from at Bo _ McBigTime, our guy Bo. Why hasn't Jen ordered a better Hot Box Batch hat than Nate to wear on all her shows? I'll hang up and listen.
I don't know. We order from Bo all the time. We just got a shipment in of, what was it called? The multi-pack.
The bundle.
Yeah, we just got a bunch. I don't know why I didn't throw a hat in there. I feel like that's Nate's territory. Like, he has laid stake on the bow hat, and I don't know. I will do
we're
it,
gonna,
though.
We're going to get you a Hot Box hat. We're doing
Yeah, I think you have to now that Bo called you out on it.
Yeah.
On this show, you have to get a hat.
go to Viridian right now.
Okay.
And find your hat. And we're going to order it while we're on this show.
There you go.
Okay. On it.
Cat really wants to be part of the show, by the way.
I don't know why he hasn't jumped up here yet.
What's his name?
Beckett. After Josh Beckett.
We'll have to interview Beckett next. does Beckett play fantasy football?
God. He can step on the keyboard like the best of them. But
okay. Yeah. okay. And we do have a couple of football related questions. I'm going to take two of these together because I think they're kind of related. One from Jorge Martin, 17, our guy Jorge, and also our friend of the show, FF Trader Joe. Jorge asks, who's a late round sleeper you're taking? Well, I assume he's talking about redraft. And Joe definitely is because he says, who are your SFB 11 waiver targets? I'm also wondering, you're not either of you two in his division by any chance, because he pulled a trick like this last week asking Matt Price's fab interest in a league where we have an auction for free agents and how much people would spend on them. So when I saw that question, I'm like, is Nader Jen in Joe's division? Is that why he wants to know their waiver targets?
No.
But like I said, I guess these are kind of related. Waiver targets, Scott Fishbowl 11, maybe a little deeper than what you're taking as a late round sleeper. But Jen's been talking a lot. I'll let Nate go first this time. What do you think on those two questions? Late round sleeper and I guess a waiver ad in Scott Fishbowl.
So late round sleeper I'm taking is Ramondre Stevenson, because he's slipping to like the very back end of drafts. And I feel like there's a chance that we see Ramondre Stevenson being by like week 10, 11. He's the lead back over Damian Harris because he shows his goal line prowess. And he's a brutal runner. This is a weird comparison that some of the younger people listening may not understand, but Christian Okoye.
Oh, I loved Christian Okoye. Nigerian nightmare.
Nigerian nightmare. And he was a brute. And that's how Ramondre Stevenson runs the ball.
It's great in Tecmo Bowl too.
Oh, Tecmo Bowl. Yes. Such a great game. I'm really hot on Ramondre Stevenson. I did a profile on him in like February or March for, I think, P2W. I may have written about him. And the dude's a bruiser. He's kind of like, he reminds me of Corey Dillon. And if y'all remember Corey Dillon coming to the Patriots and what Belichick did with Corey Dillon, that dude had like Hall of Fame caliber seasons in New England, a team that isn't known for running the ball that hard. But when they had that kind of runner, they do it because it benefited Brady in those seasons. They didn't have the best wide receiving core those seasons, much like they don't now. I mean, they've got Aguilar, Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry is hurt. There isn't a whole lot going on there. And when Mac Jones takes over, watch out for Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, even if he never takes over the job for himself, he'll be the lead back at some point. It seems like everyone's the lead back for a few weeks in New England each year.
Right.
I guess maybe somebody, because he may have been drafted in some SFB 11 leagues, anybody deeper, I guess, maybe that you would see as an SFB, or maybe somebody that wasn't as relevant. Stevenson might even qualify for that, because I don't know how often he was drafted. But
I took him. In the last, he was my last pick in SFB. So Scott Fishbowl sleepers. I have a tight end I love who's a sleeper everywhere because nobody is talking about it. I've written about him, I've tweeted about him, I've talked about him on Facebook. Nobody is talking about him in this situation. Thaddeus Moss.
Back with his college quarterback too.
He's back with his college quarterback. We didn't get to see him in 2020 because he was hurt in Washington. He set records at LSU for receptions, yards, and touchdowns by a tight end in a single season. He's Randy Moss's son. I don't know how much most people believe in pedigree, but there's something to it. There's a mindset that you get from your parents and your family that you carry into whatever you do outside of your teens. And he's talented and he's back with Joe Burrow, and his competition is CJ Uzomah, who's coming off an Achilles tear, and Drew Sample, who I spent way too much fab on the night that CJ Uzomah got hurt. and he never did anything. That's his competition. Yeah. And they brought him in for a reason. Joe Burrow said, I want Ja'Marr Chase and I want Thaddeus Moss. Bring him here. Let's do this thing. And you can literally get him on waiver wire in any league you're on.
You can probably get him on waivers in a lot of dynasty leagues, let alone Scott Fishbowl. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. Scott Fishbowl, dynasty, redraft leagues. He's not a guy who's going to be drafted. And you can snatch him for probably zero fab in whatever league you're in. He's a guy who is such an extreme value. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe we can see people getting mossed all over again in 2021. there you go. For me, I have trouble with this question just because I play so little redraft other than Scott Fishbowl. And I haven't really looked at the Scott Fishbowl waivers closely yet. If Callaway is available, a guy we mentioned earlier, I know some people did draft him. But if they didn't, I think when we did the Scott Fishbowl drafts, the Michael Thomas stuff hadn't come out yet. He wasn't as hyped. And I liked Callaway as I didn't end up drafting him, but I liked him a bit as a sleeper, even with Michael Thomas there. He showed a little bit last year, then he got banged up. So especially again, like we were talking about, if Winston's the quarterback, if Taysom's there, it's going to be tough, I think, for anybody to succeed in the passing game. But if not, Callaway, I think, can do some damage. Xavier Jones, I guess, would be another one, in Scott Fishbowl particularly. And I guess these guys could qualify as regular sweepers too. So I'm just going to use these guys as the answer for both questions. But yeah, I mean, I think Daryl Henderson actually banged up his thumb earlier today. Don't know if you saw that one either. Yeah, it doesn't appear to be serious, but he's a guy who's been banged up. He got hurt at the end of last year, which is what allowed Akers to emerge. And even with Henderson playing, he's not a guy who's going to command a three down workload anyway. So, Jake Funk is also playing well. So either of those guys, I think, is worth a lottery ticket, especially on the Scott Fishbowl waivers. Trying to think if there's anyone else I can think of. Paris Campbell would be more of a late round guy, not a waiver guy. I think a lot of people drafted Paris Campbell, but in your drafts coming up, he's a guy I like, because I think that situation, the receiver situation, is kind of muddy for Indianapolis. But what do you think? Any thoughts on any of those guys, Nate?
So when we're talking about Indy, we're not talking
T.Y. Hilton.
My God. T.Y. Hilton and Paris Campbell. And then there's Michael Pittman.
Yeah. And everyone loves Pittman, I know. But I do think Campbell can kind of be the PPR guy racking up catches.
I think that's going to be Michael Pittman, though.
I think Campbell's going to play a lot of slot probably with Pittman and T.Y. on the outside. So I could see him work in the middle and getting some catches. But that's also going to be Nyheim Hines area too. So,
right.
It'll probably be spread around. That's what Wentz has done in the past. That's what Reich has done in the past. I just can see I see Pittman as more the big body type, that he's going to get those 50-50 balls. He'll be more of the red zone threat, certainly, than Michael Pittman. I'm sorry, than Paris Campbell. But yeah, I mean, again, we're talking late round guys. So,
right. Michael Pittman is a guy I've said that I think is going to finish as a top 10 fantasy wide receiver this year.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be, I'm totally shocked by that. I just think he's a little more of a mid-round guy in my mind. Maybe not.
No, totally. I can see Paris Campbell hitting if he can stay healthy. His ankle issues worry me. And that's the thing.
That's the thing for with me, him all the time, health, yeah.
Well, it's with anybody who has, like, nagging ankle injuries. Like, I've had those, and they don't go away quickly unless you give a serious amount of time of rest. And even then, like, I still tweak my ankle. So anytime I have a player who's like, they hurt their ankle. Who was the recent one? Dang it, I can't remember who it was that had like a medium level ankle sprain. They're like, oh, he'll be fine. Like
CEH?
Yes, it was CEH. And I was already out on CEH. Anyway, but that ankle sprain thing it's nagging.
Damn, Nate's out on CEH. He's out on Jonathan Taylor. Do you like any of these rookie running backs from the 2020 class, Nate?
Not a big fan, as you're coming to understand. nagging ankle injuries will always be a fade for me because they nag and they nag and they nag.
I feel the same way about knee injuries.
A knee. Anything lower body that nags on anybody.
Hamstrings,
hips, knees, ankles, Lisfranc injuries. Like those things tend to affect you for not just the one season, but 2 to 3. Achilles, because you're concerned about, can I cut? Can I move? ACL's concerning. Until Adrian Peterson was like, I'm going to go ahead and just like run for 2,000 yards the year after I had an ACL. And that skewed things with the ACL injuries. But these injuries mean something. And in Dynasty, that's something where you're like, I have to pay attention to the fact that this could be a 2 to 3 year nagging injury for this person. And are you willing to roster them knowing that it could be a 2 to 3 year nagging injury that sticks with this person?
Right, right. And so, Jen, just to finish up, did you have any late round redraft sleepers or SFB 11 waiver targets that you might be looking at? We mentioned, you know, Callaway, Paris Campbell, some other guys. So
I'm sticking with Traquan. He's my man.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. If you can pick him up late round, I definitely would, especially with the injuries that are happening in New Orleans and the uncertainty there. I think that picking up Traquan is a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, and these are, you know, this was sort of a redraft-oriented question, but I guess these are all, dynasty-oriented podcasts. It could also be guys you might want to look at buy low. Jen obviously likes the idea of buying. You can get Traquan Smith pretty cheap. So cheap. Yeah. Yeah, nobody's in on Traquan anymore except Jen. So maybe take a flyer on Jen's word and we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
And the last listener question we had, also from Jorge, what's the title tally between the poll? Well, there's a two-part question, poll votes. What's the title tally between you two? Do you guys know how many titles you've each won? Too many to count? Is that what
unclear.
It is?
Unclear. Not enough. Not enough for sure.
Not nearly enough.
I know I won. What did I win last year? It was some random league that we joined.
Oh, it was Joseph Griffin's.
Was it Last Minute Madness?
It was Last Minute Madness. And didn't you win rookie Superflex?
Maybe. Like if there's no money on the line, I do not remember if I win. Like,
yeah, I don't blame it.
Always in it to win it, but if there's money, for sure. Like in our home league that we've had for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years now. Did I come in second or third last year? I don't know. I feel like Nate never wins though. Sorry, honey.
I get too cutesy with my trades and my waiver wire stuff, and then I just end up losing.
I think that's the first time anyone has said, sorry, honey, on Trade Addicts to another person on the show.
Might not be the last, though. It could be a new thing. Sorry,
next
honey.
Week, I'll say sorry, honey, to Russ so when he's back. Or maybe he can say sorry, honey, to me for missing 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the money thing. I had a mixed year. I had a bad year in terms of winning titles last year. I'm in a lot of leagues. I only won one title, but I had a lot of playoff teams. I had like 20 plus playoff teams. Only one title. Horrible luck last year. A lot of seconds and thirds where I scored 180, 190, 200 points. But a lot of bad luck. I did that Stefan Diggs game killed me in like 3 different leagues. If anybody remembers week 16 last year, Allen and Diggs went nuts. But the one league I did win is actually a redraft league, a home redraft league. And it was a $1,200 prize for the winners, a big buy-in. Ooh, so
wow. Yeah,
that made up for getting second and third in a lot of those other leagues. So,
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a hefty buy-in, so that's why the big payout. Wow. But I'm right there with you, so I remember that one. Okay, so we got some Trade Addicts trades. It was a little light coming into the weekend, and I kind of went nuts. I think 5 of these 6 trades are me. So we will first remind everybody that Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team PPR super flex with 1.75 tight end premium, and every league except for TA1 has 0.05 per return yard, which rarely comes into matter. But since TA1 is on the sheet here, we'll mention that. And we'll go to that trade first because it's the smallest trade on here. This was also, like I said, one of my trades. Brandon Cooks for 2022 second. Any thoughts? What are you guys' thoughts on Brandon Cooks, and would you sell him for a 22 second?
I'm gonna need more than a 22 second for Brandon Cooks. Like, give me something else. Give me a Logan Thomas or Baker Mayfield or somebody. Like, I'm gonna need more than just that one pick, especially because I can't think that far into the future. Like, I'm like, what? No. I mean, 2022, 2023, I understand people do it, but I'm not like a Devy person. I'm not looking at rookies. And I don't know what this year holds, especially coming off of COVID and the guys who opted out. So give me something more than just the one pick or just the one. Yeah, just the one pick.
What do you think, Nate?
I'm on the same side. I understand he's the only target in that offense, really, like realistically, but Tyrod Taylor's the quarterback. So I'm selling, but I want a little bit more. I'm not a guy who likes picks. Mm-hmm. I want something quantifiable.
And I want trade. Something now.
Yes. Now. Yes. Give me something now and a little bit of something later. And I think Cooks is worth that, being the only real, like, solid wide receiver one target in that offense. Give me a player, give me a pick, and then we'll talk.
Yeah.
I hear you. You guys took the other side. You're dissing me this whole time, so I get it. But no. But Brandon Cooks, my thinking was I have a pretty decent team in that league. I'm pretty decent at receiver. Maybe I could have got a little more, but his value isn't super high, especially because of the whole Watson thing. And just general, I think people have been kind of fading him the last couple of years. I agree. He's actually a lot better than people give him credit for, and probably should be higher than what his ADP is. But I just didn't see, I didn't think he was going to be a huge, I feel like a decent contender in that league. And I didn't think he was going to kill me to lose him. I don't know that his value is ever going to be more than a second. So I figured, what the heck, this was offered to me. I took it. So we'll move on after you guys said you didn't like it. this one was the only one that wasn't me. We'll go on to the TA8 trade, which was Michael Thomas for Darnell Mooney, Ramondre Stevenson, and a 2023 first. Nate, you've mentioned a couple of these guys on here, so what are your thoughts on that?
Give me that Mooney Stevenson side, 100%. Here's the thing about Darnell Mooney. The dude is talented. He was just stuck with terrible quarterback play last year. He was getting open left and right, and Trubisky and Foles just really couldn't connect. He's made this connection with Justin Fields, who will be the starter in Chicago. If it's not
week one. Okay.
I don't know that it's going to be. Nagy's being weird about it, and it might be week two, week three, after Dalton gets just like absolutely mauled because he's Andy Dalton, pale squirt gun. Darnell Mooney is a long-term buy for me in Dynasty because the dude's talent is he might be a better wide receiver than Allen Robinson. And I'm saying that.
Yeah, well,
this is a very pro Allen Robinson podcast.
I love Allen, and that's the thing, is that I love Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's talent, like, to the moon. Love that guy. With a better quarterback, I love Allen Robinson this year. But Darnell Mooney is the truth, man. That guy creates separation, and his route running technique is spot on. And then give me Ramondre Stevenson's possible goal line work in the future, plus that pick, which says Spencer Rattler to me, maybe.
Maybe.
Just saying. I'm stoked. I'll take that trade. Michael Thomas is a liability at this point. He's like AB to me, I suppose.
I kind of like that comparison, and I'm with you. I'm kind of out on Michael Thomas. And I know some people say when he comes back, he's going to crush it, regardless of who the quarterback is. I have him in quite a few places. I generally tend to have kind of lesser quarterbacks in Superflex and try and go elite in more the other tight end, running back, wide receiver. And I have quite a few shares of Michael Thomas, and I haven't sold them just because I feel like I might get a value boost when he finally starts playing. That's not there now, but I want to get out on him. And if I could get this now, I probably would. The 2023 first is pretty valuable itself. And then, like you said, I like both guys. I'm not quite as high on Stevenson as you are. I see him as more of a flyer, but I love Mooney as well. If you could get the even just the first, I might do. And getting those two players on top of it, I think, is great. But any thoughts on this one, Jim, before we move on to the next trade?
No, you guys took all my words.
Okay, I'll let you go first.
I'm right the next there. One. I'm right there with you.
Okay, and so, yeah, we got four more. And, yeah, like I said, all of these are me. So I'm going to, again, not tell you which side is mine, and then you can rip me again. So, TA7, we have two trades. I'm going to Jen first because I know Nate's not going to like this one. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darius Slayton for Chase Claypool, a 22 first and a 22 fourth. So again, picks involved here. But what do you think, Jen?
I'm probably on the opposite side of everyone else, but I'm going to go Claypool. I just feel like he has such an upside, and I know people are crapping all over him. Because they just don't think that the talent is there, but I do. And CH, he's not going to get the ball. I mean, targets there are Kelce and Hill. Mahomes is not famous for handing the ball off. So it's like, it just seems like Claypool plus a first and a fourth. Like, that just seems like a great deal to me.
Nate's nodding his head because he hates CH. So,
oh, yes.
Yes.
Lady after my own heart right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the last time the poll votes are going to be on the show. I do like CH. I made this trade. I'm actually not a big Claypool guy, so I'm the opposite of you guys, I guess. But I'm a big Deontay guy, which I think is what kind of dampens my enthusiasm for Claypool. I also am a big – I still like Juju. I think he's undervalued as well. I get the upside with Claypool. And I don't think Edwards-Helaire is going to be as involved in the passing game as everybody wants him to be. But I think he still will get enough work running the ball to be valuable. And he pretty much was. I mean, he was doing well last year before he got hurt, and especially before Le'Veon Bell came in. He was, I think, a low end RB1. So I do like him, young running back, and Claypool, I think the touchdowns are going to regress a little. We don't know his quarterback situation going forward. Edwards-Helaire in the best offense in the league for the foreseeable future, really, as long as Mahomes is there. So that's where I was at. I got the CEH side. So we'll move on to the next one, and we'll see if you guys hate this one as well.
We're never going to be invited back.
I know.
Never.
I totally you know, get if it. You don't pick my side, you're definitely not. No, I'm just kidding. The next one is Robert Woods and Teddy Bridgewater for Devin Singletary, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and a 23 first. So, Nate. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going back and forth, but you chimed in first. Nate's just sitting there being quiet, so you go.
Well, it's good. It's good. So for me, I'm taking Robert Woods and Teddy Bridgewater just because kind of like, did we already talk about this, about how good Bridgewater's looking so far just in the preseason, like the game.
That's right. You guys, but no, I guess.
Yeah. Watching him play, he was just so comfortable. He just fit right in. And I loved that. Drew Lock. Okay, we've got like 50-50 camp, I'm sure, out there in the world. But I don't think Drew Lock is starting quarterback. Like, there's fear in his eyes. So I'm taking Teddy Bridgewater and Robert Woods. Robert Woods has come off of three seasons of 1,000-plus yards. Like, Bobby Trees can't be stopped. I like this deal. I'm going for it.
What do you think, Nate? Which side?
So we had a talk about this earlier today. And I was on one side. And then Jen like started spitting at me and she changed my mind. I'm on the Bobby Trees, Teddy Bridgewater side because I think she's right. Teddy's got to be the starter in Denver. Mm-hmm. And while I have some slight concerns about Cooper Kupp maybe seeing a little bit of work from Bobby Trees,
he will. He definitely will.
He will, but it's not going to be enough to make it a concern. Mm-mm. And that's the better side of that trade.
Okay, you guys have a chance to come back now because I did get the Robert Woods side.
Okay, good.
And yeah, and as a little background to this trade, I actually also have Drew Lock on this team. So now I have Bridgewater and Lock, and I have Watson. So I liked the idea of having the starting quarterback for the Broncos no matter what, since I may not have Watson the whole year. Yeah, I'm with you guys on Robert Woods. I think he's always been a little underrated, and he generally finishes in that low end one, high end two range. I think he might have his best year yet, especially with the Akers going down. Like we mentioned earlier, Henderson's getting banged up already. They could be passing a ton, and you know the improvement from Goff to Stafford will be a huge boost for him. I think his floor is low-end wide receiver one at this point. I like him over Kupp. I wasn't sure in the offseason, but I've leaned towards the Woods side. And the other than the first and the other side, those other two pieces, I know a lot of people like Donovan Peoples-Jones is kind of a guy who could blossom, but he's just a flyer to me, and I'm not a Devin Singletary guy at all. I think you know Josh Allen's the RB1 there, and right. if any of the running backs emerge, I think it's going to be Moss, not Singletary. So,
well, and the thing with DPJ is that he's still sitting at best. He's sitting behind OBJ and Jarvis Landry. He's a wide receiver. If everyone's healthy and contributing in that offense, he's wide receiver three. Like you're
in a run oriented offense.
Yes. And you're taking a major flyer on a guy that, while he's shown flashes, we don't know what his involvement is realistically going to be.
Yeah, I agree. And then the guy that was getting the other side, he is more of a rebuilding team. He's trying to kind of retool at least there. So it made some sense for him. He actually did think he was he mentioned to me, he said he thinks the value might be on my side. But Twitter actually disagrees with all of us and was he because the guy pulled it. It's actually J.P. Hurley from the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast. Yeah. And he pulled it and the first side, the Devin Singletary Peoples Jones first side was actually winning by quite a bit, but I'm with you guys. I got the better side. So
you did for sure.
And okay. So I wanted to finish up with these TA3 trades, Trade Addicts 3, because these were both made, hopefully you guys have your updated show sheets up. 'Cause these were made, I think about an hour before the show, both by me and I just basically totally turned over my entire team. So
no kidding. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I said to somebody before the show started, I'd like to see Jen and Nate make sense of the second trade we're going to get into here.
Holy cow, bro.
We'll go to the first one, which is a little smaller, which is going to be funny when you hear how many people are involved. But if you're listening, but Antonio Gibson, Kirk Cousins, and Robert Tonyan for Jalen Hurts, Darrell Henderson, Michael Carter, Debo Samuel, and Gronk. Dude, so already a lot going on in that one.
Yeah, I'm going Hurts, Henderson, Carter, Debo, Gronk.
Same.
I have a special place in my heart for Gronk, though. Like, he's a terrible actor. He's a terrible host of that dumb show that he did back before COVID. But otherwise, like, he's still got it. I don't know how he's pulling this off, but he and Brady are just, they're still doing it, man. I don't understand it. So, I mean, that alone, let me look at it one more time. Yeah, I'm not a fan of Kirk Cousins.
I will tell you, you picked the other side. I'm actually okay with on this one because I kind of felt I was overpaying a little bit because I wanted a Gibson share. That's where this came. I actually sent out. I'm in 5 Trade Addicts leagues. I sent out 4 off. The one I couldn't figure out a deal, but I sent out an offer in 4 of them last night for Gibson. Because I have 0 shares, and I've been warming up to him a lot this offseason. So I kind of felt I probably was overpaying a little, but I wanted to get the Gibson share. But I also do like Cousins. I just think he's underrated. He finishes as a QB, low-end QB1 almost every year. I think Ryan McDowell put a tweet not that long ago. It was like 5 out of the last 6 seasons. So I think he's a bit underrated, but Nate, any thoughts on that? I'm wondering what you guys think of Debo as well. That was another reason I'm not high on Debo. I also think Hurts could last as long as be starting as many more games in this league as Cousins, if not fewer. So that was another reason I was okay with doing it.
So I hate Kirk Cousins.
That's why I love him, because there's so many people out there like you, and he'll score me points, and I'll get him off you for cheap.
Right. You have then you're like Antonio Gibson and Tonyan, but I love Michael Carter. Not a huge Daryl Henderson fan, not a huge Hurts fan, not a huge Debo fan, not a huge Gronk fan. I'm probably going the I'm gonna throw up. I'm probably going the Gibson Cousins Tonyan side. Who am I? But that's the side that makes the most sense for me. Like, value-wise, separating the unreasonable hate for Kirk Cousins and his square chin. I'm probably going that Cousins side on that.
And we'll finish up with the last one, which you're basically going to know which side I traded away and which one I got, because after making the Gibson trade, I had been kind of going a little more youth oriented with this team. And after that, I got Gibson, who's not old, but he's a running back and they have a short shelf life. And I got Cousins, and Tonyan isn't a real youth guy. I said, Russ Dynasty Outhouse actually sent me a version of this trade earlier today that I rejected. After accepting the Gibson trade, I was like, you know what? Let me just go nuts, play for this year, totally flip over the team. What the hell? So I traded Justin Fields, CD Lamb. And people hearing this are already like, oh my God.
What?
Devontae Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 2023 first. And I got back Calvin Ridley, TJ Hockenson, Ezekiel Elliott, Robbie Anderson, and Jared Goff.
Dude, you traded away Fields, Lamb. I also love Devontae Smith and Amon-Ra for these old guys.
I get it. If you're,
I keep
like,
reading it, and I'm like, Calvin Ridley.
For the record, Ridley and Hawk are not old.
No, they're not old. But we'll see how Zeke does now that Dak's back. And, I mean, I do love Robbie Anderson, so there's that. But Jared Goff, how the mighty have fallen.
Jared Goff, that's the part of it that where I'm like, oh, I don't like this. I don't like it. I don't like
I'm
it
not
all.
A big Jared Goff fan either.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just I love Ridley, I love Hawk, and I love Robbie Anderson as a guy that people underestimate, and I think he's going to, especially back with Darnold this year, second year in that offense. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I love Zeke for this year at least anyway. Outhouse kind of knew where to get me, because those first three guys are just guys I've been touting all off season, and he loves Ridley too, so I was shocked he included him in here. But he definitely got a haul from me. I think the value is probably on that side, but I decided what the hell. It'll be interesting to talk about on the show. And my team went from building to win now overnight, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, and value is all relative too. Values relative to your team construction and who you have and what your philosophy is. He might have felt like he robbed you, and you might feel like you robbed him. Mm-hmm. And really, when it comes down to it, a good trade gives value to everyone around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and he is certainly taking on a lot. I think CeeDee Lamb is almost a sure thing, but I think everyone else on there is a bit of a risk. Even Fields, I love Fields. But I mean, and like I said earlier, I know he's had a decent preseason, but I'm not judging anything off that. So Fields, Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 23 first. Those are all risky pieces that we have no idea how they're going to play out. I feel pretty confident on how Ridley, Hockenson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Robbie Anderson are going to play out. Goff's my QB3 in this scenario. So we'll see how it goes. And I like I said in the TA3 chat, if it goes horribly wrong, I'll just blow the team up in season and I'll rebuild all over again. So,
yep.
But it was fun doing it before the show. So I'm glad that you guys came here to rip all my trades. And answer some questions. And I guess we'll just finish up then by, again, having you remind everybody your Twitter handle and where they can find everything. So, Jen, why don't you go first?
Yep. I'm at Jen Polvo and at 32in32ff.
And Nate?
I'm at Janae Jack FF.
For now.
Asterix.
As you know, in between media, that's like our flagship.
Yes.
At 32 and 32 FF, which is Jen and I's flagship. Mm-hmm. Coming Off the Edge, which is a family show. And FF Thieves, we have some stuff coming.
And yeah, at Nate. IBT underscore media.
At
I think
IBT.
I think you just said IBT and I didn't say anything about it at all. Said at the beginning, not at the end. But the handle is at IBT underscore media.
Yeah, yes. It's way too much there. I'm just not surprised you didn't remember to say everything. So, speaking of remembering to say everything, now I got to sign off with all our stuff here. Again, I am at Dynasty FF Addict on Twitter. Russ, who will be back next week, is at Dynasty Outhouse. The pod is at Trade Addicts Pod, DAP Network, at DAP underscore network. Follow the network on Twitter. Also, subscribe on YouTube. You can see Fantasy Timeline, as well as my other podcast, Dynasty Junkies. Those shows are both going live now. Occasionally, Trade Addicts does go live as well on YouTube. Also, subscribe.
Sorry about the cat.
Becca trying to get back in here again.
Yeah.
Also, if you subscribe to the Patreon, you can watch us every week as well. Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can also get in the Cool Kids Club, our group chat. And also, don't forget to go to ffpodshirts.storenv.com. You can get merch for Trade Addicts, Timeline, all the DAP Network shows, Junkies, as well as many other podcasts. I know Fantasy Vipers is there. I think FF Intervention, a lot of other stuff. And everything, all the proceeds from that. I know there was, I don't know if they're still there. I know there were Scott Fishbowl 11 shirts there at one point as well. All the proceeds do go to charity, which right now I believe is still Fantasy Cares until September, when we'll switch it over to a new charity. And I think I remembered everything. I'm sure Russ will call me out if I didn't. But thanks again, guys, for coming on, and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.